Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're honored, I'm honored to have my guest back on with me, Ms. Lynn Taylor. We had a really enlightening conversation a few weeks ago about our education system and the things that they want you to not know and the things that they're pushing through without any fanfare. We had a conversation before the show started. I don't know how parents keep abreast of what's going on because you really have to have eyes in the back of your head. You have to be up there. You have to be paying attention. And I think the most important thing is I think you have to listen to your child. I think that they are on the front line. And if the parent and child relationship is not as tight as it should be, I think that's what they're banking on. So Lynn, I want to thank you so much for joining me for part two, because I'm disturbed, honestly, about what's going on in our education system. It's not about education anymore. We've established that firmly, but it keeps going and morphing into something else. But on the last show, we talked about a lot of UN driven, et cetera. I want to talk about the parent and child relationship a little bit, and specifically what they're trying to do with genetic testing and things that people don't even know is out there.
Well, absolutely. And you are so spot on. Now, if you missed part one, I'm sure that we can make that available for you. But what we were discussing was this recent survey that had been given by a particular organization in California. I think it was the university. And it was saying, hey, parents were open to genetically modifying their babies to be able to gain access to a better school. And, you know, that sounds pretty Orwellian. But one of the things that really struck me, and it kind of goes in with what you were saying, Dr. Elena, about how can parents do this in the particular study. Let's see here. Let me get to just one of the graphic images. Now, I know we can't see it, but it's going to give us a little bit of a breakdown. All right. It says here that you had 19% of this particular group say, yes, I'm open to gene editing. And here was the thing, was depending on where you stood morally was where the percentages were. So in other words, that 19% I just cited said, oh, it was acceptable to gene alter your baby for academic gains at school. Then we have 22% who said, oh, this is not a moral issue at all. 30% said, I'm not sure. And 29% said, this is absolutely wrong.
That's an amazing breakdown.
I mean, I would think
there shouldn't be anybody on one side of this pendulum, you would think.
Well, you know, I understand if we need to do something, if it were a disease, but we're talking about brain access and knowledge for getting into a school. Mm-hmm. This totally changes everything. Now, as far as the way the study groomed this, they said it was for the SAT prep. Well, we know the Scholastic Aptitude Test is what that stands for. That SAT. 27% said that it would be okay to do. 49% said it's not a moral issue. 16% said, oh, I'm not sure. And only 7% said this was morally wrong. So do you see how that same group shifted just a little bit towards, oh, yes, let's manipulate a baby for an education?
It's next level. I think, I mean, I'm from New York originally. I think one of the main things that I was aware of, parents trying to get a leg up by getting their kid into the grade school, I should say the preschool. And it was a major thing. This is a whole nother level of trying to literally, supposedly, gain advantage genetically. I don't think people really understand genetics. I don't think they understand that you can't really manipulate it because it's so complex. So you start messing with this, you don't know what you're going to unleash, and you don't know if this is going to be passed generationally. Technically, it could be.
Right. Absolutely.
Short-term gain, instant gratification, following, you know, the herd mentality without any thought.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the wicked trail of this, Dr. Elena, goes all the way back, if you can believe it, to the Nazis. And one of the doctors, he has an institute over in England. It's called the Frick Institute. And in Dr. Frick's personal papers, he wrote that he was in support of a Nazi-style eugenics manipulation of DNA for intelligence, especially between the races. And he advocated bribery and even sterilizing certain races. And this particular institute is still going today, and they are on the cutting edge of this type of, okay, we're going to come in and genetically modify children. Over in England, they are proposing in Parliament a genetic technology act of 2023, and it's called precision breeding. Now, it starts with the animals and plants, and it goes in and says, we're, you know, the UK government is going to okay this, and we're going to go in and we're going to genetically modify plants and animals that people eat. Well, now, if they're going to start there, it's not a far stretch, especially when you have some of these institutes that are impacting America and they're overseas, to come in and go, well, if we can do it with plants and animals, why not do it on humans? I'm sure there's somewhere that they're tying all this together. And people are probably going to listen to this, but yeah, we don't live in the United Kingdom. But you know, here's the thing. We have a permanent agreement with England that was signed well before any of us were born to make sure that we stayed in good communication and that we traded information. And this goes under information.
This is pretty, when you think about how this is like a puzzle piece, I think.
Oh, it is.
Years ago, there was something called the Codex Alimentarius, where it's a listing of food groups, animals. It basically gives us how our food supply, what's right. considered to be, I wouldn't say normal per se, but healthy mm-hmm. for people to eat. If they get to decide that wild type, meaning unadulterated, not genetically altered, no GMO food, etc., that's going to be going by the wayside once you decide that the food supply needs to be genetically modified seeds. What happens with that? What happens with we call heirloom, for example, which are the ones that are after the naturally produced by the plant? I just foresee if this goes down a natural pathway, it's going to create lack. And it's going to be creating haves and have-nots. Whoever has access to this is going to be the people who control everything.
Absolutely.
And it can only be controlled, really. It's not gender. It's not silly things that are totally just surface. It's right. whether you have food, whether you have water, whether you have access to quality education so you can be self-sufficient. All these things seem to be tied in. It's like a little here, a little there. Everybody's just looking at the shiny thing. Everybody's, you know, PO'd about something, but not paying attention to what they should be. I think it's really fascinating, honestly, that they're trying to pull this off by your child is special.
Oh, that yeah.
They can have an advantage. They can be better. It's based on selfishness and feeling less than. Really, that seems to be the baseline of this, doesn't it?
I would think so. And that illusion that we get something for nothing, or we're going to get better if we start monkeying with it. Well, you know, here's the thing. This is from a paper that was back in April the 16th. It was published on exposednews.com. And it says here, risky biotechnology experiments are proliferating. And what we're discussing would fall under that. Mm-hmm. We also have to keep in mind that research to put mRNA vaccines in food is already in progress. And of course, that's being funded by Bill Gates. So this particular article is talking about not just America, but all over. And, you know, as I just told you about this legislation that is before Parliament in England, it doesn't take long for people to put two and two together about all this.
It seems like there's a common point within all this. So
Well, sure.
Let's take our first break because I don't want to cut off your thoughts. So let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with the Common Core Diva, Ms. Lynn Taylor. And before the break, you were really giving us a great breakout of, it's just endless. It just never stops. But England is the template. Everything that happens globally seems to start in England, right? The cameras, the 24-hour surveillance, the gender clinics, everything seems to start there. So if they're talking about eugenics, essentially, kind of to manipulate who's got the best genes, let's think about the corollary. Who doesn't have the best genes? What happens to those people? Does anybody not think everything's going to get a piece of this pie? I don't think so. It's going to be certain groups who have the money or whoever they want to give a head start to. But historically, there's always somebody on the losing end of this. And I can only imagine who that's going to be.
Well, it's absolutely stunning to me, because if you're going to say, okay, yeah, let's do this to this baby, what happens if the doctor who's performing the procedure slips? And instead of reworking a gene for intelligence, something else that's, now I don't know the anatomy of how our genes are worked out. This would probably be more up your alley. I don't know what sits right next to it. So I'm envisioning it like, we had a string of rubber bands, and, one is for intelligence and one is for motor skills and one is for, language. What happens if you slip and hit the wrong one?
Mm-hmm. You've got a different child. You've got a different child, essentially. And it even goes even deeper than that. Most people don't know their genetics, but think about our DNA as our blueprint. Everything, it's so, there's things on the DNA helix that we don't know what they do. Right. And having it unmolested, essentially, keeps things that shouldn't be expressed off and things that should be expressed on. So again, you don't know what you don't know. This is playing God on a different level, a different playing field.
It's pretty screwy as far as I'm concerned. And as far as my research showed, when I did an unscientific poll asking my viewers and listeners to weigh in on, hey, would you willingly genetically alter your child just to get into a better school? I got absolute 100% no across the board. There was not even one person who said, I think this is a good idea, or, hey, sign me up. Everyone was like, absolutely not. This is just morally reprehensible. We're not going to do it.
I think most people probably feel that way, but they're not given a platform. So, we have to think about how we're being manipulated with propaganda and coercion, soft and hard.
Right.
To think that, first of all, I think the bigger picture, right, if it's natural, there's something wrong with it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because after all, we know more than God does.
Exactly.
That seems
to be the template for everything, doesn't it?
Well, that's because we know who's driving this, and it's not anyone that we really want to be a partner with. I do know that from 1948, the program for UNESCO, which is the Education, Scientific, and Culture Organization for the United Nations, they had this particular document that was all about their program. And here is a paragraph I want to read. Okay. On the other hand, the dangers which beset UNESCO have also become much more apparent. There is the danger present in many quarters of supposing that peace can be taken by storm, and that we have only to unleash all the forces of propaganda and persuasion to alter radically the course of men's actions.
We're seeing that, aren't we?
We absolutely are. And that was from 1948, and we're still under that. Now, a lot of what is driving this talk about, let's think about manipulating a baby, is having to go into our healthcare. And what we brought up in part one, if anyone listened to that and is listening to this, was the Medicaid expansion and how this put a lot of mental health, it put a lot of glorified daycare into schools to turn them into school-based health centers. And we talked a little bit about that. And since then, the administration has come out with a fact sheet that, first of all, is full of their facts, but not constitutional facts. And this one is called "The Biden-Harris Administration Announces Efforts to Support Community Schools." And here's how it starts off. Meeting the needs of the whole child, which puts mental health now under education perusal, is essential to help America's students grow academically and improve their well-being. That's why the Biden-Harris administration is committed to increasing and supporting the adoption of community school models across the country. Now, Biden didn't start this. Obama did with Every Student Succeeds Act, and Trump kicked the can down the road by increasing funding for these. So this is another one of those examples, Dr. Elena, of the unibrow political collusion when it comes to education. Now, this particular fact sheet goes on to tell us that community schools will meet the unique needs of the neighborhoods they serve. We're not talking schools now, we're talking neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. By leveraging local nonprofit, private sector, and public partnerships to bring wraparound services into school buildings, such as mental health support, dental service, assistance with shelter and nutrition. They will operate with the assistance of school staff who will coordinate with school administrators and other stakeholders, local organizations to deliver these services and more to students, their families, and to members of your community.
You know, that word stakeholder has a really ominous ring to me. I don't see parents in that equation at all. And who are the stakeholders and who gets to decide that somebody needs a service? I mean, who's on the front line? Is it the teacher? Is it the administrator?
It's the assessments.
Sorry, just for those who don't know, can you explain those assessments again? They're in school, are they not?
Oh, yeah. Those are the high stakes formative assessments that will go in, and they're done in the name of prevention and identifying if Johnny or Susie has some sort of behavior issue or mental disorder. Now, first of all, those kinds of tests shouldn't be in a school. Those should be under a professionally licensed and certified doctor's care being administered, not down at the school. But supposedly, all this is being done because we need to boost graduation rates. Well, there's your red herring. It is not about boosting graduation rates as it's being sold. It is about Orwellian control of your entire family, and we're using Medicaid dollars to do it. Because under the Every Student Succeeds Act, it increased the Title I funding that should have gone for special needs children and applied it to everyone so that everyone could be identified as in some need of behavior intervention or mental health support. And this bipartisan effort is $150 million strong under this new particular bill that has been passed.
You know, this strikes me like statistics. You can make anything sound any way you want based on your question, based on who you decide to put into your study. So if this assessment should be technically right for children who have some sort of behavioral issue or some sort of cognitive, something you can see that's, how can I put it, tangible.
Yeah.
You're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody gets assessed. You're having a bad day one day, next thing you know, you've been labeled with something, or something's going on at home and you know, you're a little out of it that day. You potentially can fall into this catchment based on just being in school that day.
Right. I have described it as a snapshot. And you know, there are times we take really good snapshots and times that we don't. And you're right, if that particular assessment is that particular day, but here's what we're finding because of all the online algorithms that are being woven in, Dr. Elena, these children are getting constantly assessed on things like biometrics and things that are none of the school's business. And this goes, you know, back against our civil rights and rights to privacy. This butts up to a lot of things. But one of the things that I've noticed is, okay, the government has said, oh, we're going to unleash all this money through Medicare and Medicaid, and we're going to come in, we're going to have wraparound services that will benefit Johnny and Susie and Johnny and Susie's mom and dad and the whole community. And then you have other organizations within the federal government that are putting on webinars to tell you how to manipulate the system so you can get more money for your school to do all this.
This eerily reminds me of what's gone on with our last 3 years with the hospital system. So you're going to get money by having people in the system, right? You're only going to get money if you have an issue. So you're going to get money to take care of the mental health of those children or whatever. Just like testing you got paid for. Every time you put a code in, you got paid for it. I mean, it's just literally you build it and it'll come. You can decide. Right. I mean, this is all about money. Always follow the money, folks, because that's really what this is.
Right. And in this particular toolkit, it's going to tell you, hey, this is not just education. No, we're going to go in and we're going to start monkeying with the community development block grants that come from Department of Health and Human Services. We're going to also have grants for those Native American children through the Department of Education, but that also brings in the Department of the Interior. You also will have Department of Defense, because this also will go into military connected schools. You're going to have labor. You're going to have housing and urban development. You're going to have the National and Community Service or AmeriCorps be able to help coach you in how to get the most money to be able to have this wraparound service.
So I'm going to reiterate, you have to have some sort of issue, whether that's mental health, whether that's something that they deem something that they can control you with, essentially. And money's always tied to it. And as long as there's a money carrot, somebody will take it. Just like Obamacare and the states being given money to put people onto Obamacare. If you have a money pot, they will find a reason to use it. That's really what I think it comes down to. But from what you're saying, this is really changes the dynamics of your individuality, your home, your family structure. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, everybody's going to have some ailment, some disease, something wrong with them that the government needs to control.
So on go ahead.
Well, let's take our second break, because I want you to answer on the other half, on the other side. So let's take our next break.
You're listening to Dr. Elena George, Advocate for Living in the Solution.
Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And I think for me, it's starting to tie in where it's always about the money and about control. And it seems to be more than not centralized towards these agencies, but it's away from the individual, away from the family, towards the government. Is that a good way to see it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that old saying about, hey, we're from the government, we're here to help, is going to take on a whole new meaning with this kind of stuff going on. And while we have the government on one hand saying, okay, here's what we're going to do, and here's all this money that's going to back it up, you also have the National Academies for Science, Engineering, and Medicine that have created an entire new project, Dr. Elena, and it's all about misinformation, and they're holding webinars to kind of coach people who are in schools and in medicine to, oh, you can only talk about information that's been evidence-based. Well, now, what is evidence-based? What does that really mean? Would you answer that for me? Because I know what it means, but I don't know if your audience does.
Well, for me, it means anything that's underwritten by Big Pharma. So evidence-based is the trials that are usually underwritten by Big Pharma. Usually there are pharmaceutical-based, so there's no natural medicine associated with it. And because they get to decide what care should be and what algorithm should be, that's where medicine, the craft of medicine, is come to. It's not about individuality. It's not about the doctor and the patient deciding the course of care. It's top down.
Yeah. Yeah. And in education, evidence-based simply means someone who has manipulated an ends to a mean. And unfortunately, your children are the intended consequence.
Oh, I agree. You know, I think there's now a connection between social programs and social-driven narrative and healthcare. They're not separate anymore.
Oh, no.
It's as if they're trying to produce an answer in order to have evidence to back up what they're trying to pull everywhere.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, from the standpoint of science, this is not science. And every time they say, follow the science, you need to have a question mark. Because everything they say is the opposite, yet they just literally lie about what the results are. And you really have to dig into the number of patients, for example, in the study. It's amazing what they try to say, that they just extrapolate with 100 patients, 10 patients. If you're lucky, a couple of thousand or a few thousand. That can't be extrapolated to millions of people. And they do it all the time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we need to remember that because of this Medicaid expansion, it's not just going to be about community schools. This is going to ramp up the data collection. This is going to legislatively impact your state and your school boards. This is going to bring into question, well, who is overseeing the money? How is it being misappropriated? Because we know that since the Every Student Succeeds Act was put into de facto rule, that it turned schools into quasi-medically recognized health centers. Well, that allows for double dipping, which is, you know, a felony. But hey, the government's doing it for you. So one of the things that we talked about in our first show was, you know, would the expansion allow the parents to do this sort of gene editing? And as of right now, the AMA is saying no. But who's to say that wouldn't change, especially with if we're going to start gene editing plants and animals to see how well it goes.
As they go, so will we, because they'll say it's safe and effective.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, a mantra.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's go over, we did this in part one, but let's go over this again in part two, because if someone didn't hear part one, they might need this. The example of your school-based health services, because, you know, you might be listening and going, well, okay, school-based health service doesn't sound so bad. Okay. Everything under Medicaid and CHIP, the Child Health Care Insurance Program. This would be all physician services, all nursing services, all psychological services, all counseling services, all social work services, all vision services, all audiology services, all speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. Okay. For mental health, it would be psychology access, social psychology, individual psychology and counsel, group psychology and counsel, medication administration, peer support and care management. And your providers can be anyone, it says can be, not must be, but can be, credentialed, certified, licensed, or registered. Not all of these, but one of these.
As we spoke about in the last show, I think you're correct. Who would you rather take care of you? Let's say a surgeon who's certified versus someone who's licensed. There's a difference. And I think from a healthcare perspective, we've had nomenclature or this phraseology change what we do and what our experience is. We have nurses as doctors. They get doctorates and they're called doctors. We have physician assistants. We have all these different pieces of the healthcare system, but they're all glommed in is one thing, as if everybody is a doctor and therefore everybody has the same experience, the same training, the same ability to take care of the patient, the whole patient. And it's not the same, but it does make it easier for someone to follow an algorithm if they don't have a frame of reference. And if they're just following A to B to C without thought, that's exactly the system that they want. It sounds to me very similar to the education system. You just want to have children take a test, you know, teach to take a test or teach them to become whatever their endpoint is from a job perspective, not right, to educate the person just because education is awesome and it gives you a frame of reference and an ability to continue to learn as you get older. That doesn't seem to be the point anymore.
No, but when your government redefines education, when your government redefines healthcare, when your government redefines, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what else can we do?
No. I mean, they get to make the, you're right, to define it, but it has nothing to do with the reality of it. That's pretty clear. And when it doesn't fit the narrative, then the definition changes.
And that's by design. It absolutely is.
And if you have a question, then they're going to shut you down or somehow remove you from the conversation.
Or label you as misinformed.
Exactly. And now they want to make that illegal. I mean, this is now being trying to legislate, asking questions and actually standing up for your rights, then you're somehow a disruptor and you need to be addressed from a legal perspective.
Well, going after the First Amendment. And we know that the Restrict Act, which is a whole nother topic among upon itself, would back into this through the biotechnology and the biometrics. And so, yes, the Restrict Act is not about, it's claiming that, oh, it's going to ban TikTok. It has nothing to do with TikTok. TikTok is not even mentioned in that bill. What is mentioned is your free use of the internet, your free access to information, to being able to share information. So broadcasts like this would be illegal. Being able to use a VPN would get you 20 years in prison and up to $1 million in fines. It is absolutely going after every single one of us to supposedly clamp down on hostile entities that want to infiltrate America. No, this has nothing to do with it, because if it did, why would it attach itself to our use of biotechnology and biometrics? Why would it need to do that?
It's just
about reining us in.
Exactly. And also making a chilling effect on speaking your mind. No one's going to speak. No one's going to put information on the internet right now. And we're not hidden. Everybody knows there's a way to tell who you are, even if you use some sort of pseudonym. Why? It doesn't matter. But the fact that you can't speak your mind, and everybody can. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and that goes against our God-given ability to express ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, there was a reason why he created us like he did, to be able to think. But our education system is replacing how to think with what to think.
Well, that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. I couldn't have said that better. And what to think is, first of all, it's about making you as small as possible, right? You can only identify with people who look like you, think like you, and everybody else is the enemy. So you don't even stick your head up to try to figure out or listen to some other point of view. God forbid, right? So yeah. If you get rid of, it's not good enough in their opinion just to demonize the other person. Now you have to remove the content because they're so afraid of the truth. This would be my take on it. If the truth stands alone, anybody can tell a lie all they want, but the truth is there. Why are they trying to remove the truth? That's really what I'm thinking, more than trying to stop me from being disinformation exposed. Why can't I hear the truth? What are you afraid of?
Because if you knew the truth, you would know what the nefarious actions are bringing about. And this is, again, goes back to that Restrict Act, is that it would take away our access to internet libraries. So all those classic books, all those documents that have been able to be archived and researchers can access them and regular people can access them to get maybe what's not being told, you know, behind the scenes sort of things, things that aren't on mainstream media, but should be. If we lose access to that, Dr. Elena, that goes along the lines of removing the truth, because then all we will have are the mainstream media outlets that are owned all by the same companies and the same people. So they get to control the news. I mean, they're already doing it.
True. It's very true. And if you don't have any kind of a counterpoint, then whatever you say becomes the truth without question.
And people are not going to know. I mean, if this thing actually comes to fruition, people are not going to know. Generations from now will not know what was really going on, because it'll all be scrubbed.
That's tragic. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. Lynn, how can people find what you write and listen to your other podcasts?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. That is www.commoncorediva.com. commoncorediva.com. It's all run together. No capital letters. It's commoncorediva.com. My webmaster has been gracious in uploading all my podcasts and interviews, and then you can find my year's worth of articles. I have no idea how many articles I have written. I probably should, but I don't. But there are thousands.
Ugh. That's good. I mean, the fact that you've been so prolific, you've been on the front line, and it really takes a lot of courage to put the information out because you love what you do. You love God, you love our country, and you're really a patriot for doing it.
Oh, well, now, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, I know we talk a lot about what's being done, but again, I have to revisit, what can parents do? I know we talked about charter schools versus homeschooling and how this process is being just diffused through the entire education system. Parents still have power. Nothing's written in law at this point. It's just coercion, manipulation, propaganda. It's kind of soft.
Right. Well,
parents
here's what
more active.
Well, here's what I would suggest as far as parents do. First of all, wise up to the fact that if your state is trying to pass a parental rights bill, fight it tooth and nail. And here's why you want to do that. Because the government did not make you a parent. And the underbelly to the state laws that are being passed saying, oh, we have parental rights. Georgia's one of them. Tennessee, I think there's one that's trying to go out in Utah. I can't remember all the states. But anyway, the point of it is, and the one that's here in North Carolina, it clearly states, Dr. Elena, that the government gets to decide what your right as a parent is, how impactful it can be or how not impactful it can be, and they reserve the right to change that definition when it suits their purpose. This is not a good thing. This is a wolf in sheep's clothing because it's setting up further freeway for the government to come in and go, well, mom and dad, you're just doing a sucky job and we're coming in and we're taking over. And again, there might be families where that does need to happen, but do we have to do it across the board for everyone? No, we shouldn't. There's also a federal level parental rights bill that is doing the same thing. It's enumerating what your rights will be. And here's the thing. God did not enumerate your rights as a parent. So why is your government? God is the one who made you a parent, not the government. God gave you parental rights that are inherent, and that's life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. He also gave us directions in how we were to raise our children. Those are part of the inherent rights that we have. It's called responsibility. So do you want to still be responsible for your child, or do you want the government to be responsible? So that would be my very first thing. Second of all, 9 times out of 10, these will be connected to those education savings accounts that give the illusion of free money from the government for you to go educate as you see fit. No, it is not. It is a way to put a data tracker, not only on your student, but on your entire family. And there are examples of states where money has been taken under the guise of these education savings accounts, and the government is coming in and going, well, you can't spend it for this, you can't spend it for that, you can't spend it for the other, but they're somehow saying, oh, this is going to give you more freedom. No, every Student Succeeds Act took away our choice. It absolutely did, because it doesn't matter if you're in charter school, public school, hybrid school, grade school, adult school, college, anywhere. All the curriculum is aligned because it has to be for data mining as well as for the level playing field that needs to take place for collectivism to live and breathe. So what I would suggest, stay away from government money, because government money is a glorified piece of welfare, and with that comes control. You really want to protect your family, I would homeschool. Don't take anybody's money for it. If you think, oh, I deserve a tax credit because I am homeschooling and the state can give me money, well, guess what? Those come with strings as well.
It's always that money train. It's amazing. Yep. I mean, from the data, let's go up, focus up to a higher level. The government is running or having a say-so in this, but is there a bigger picture? Is this more global? Is the UN at all involved with this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, how can you have this model succeed unless you get everyone on the same page? So, you know, we're still under the persuasion and all the tactics to radically change our lives. And we're seeing this play out.
It's very mercenary. It's so subtle in some instances. And people are just looking at what's in front of them. Just the money, just the ability to, it's in my hand, therefore I now have control. I think that's where people, again, I didn't even know what you just described. Mm-hmm. I thought that once the person had the money, they get to decide what school the child goes to, how they use that money for education. I had no idea it was that many strings attached to it.
Oh yeah. Well, see, this is what they don't want you to know, because this is going to be a huge part of the 2024 election. And it's all about, oh, well, if you come over here and you vote for this person, we'll save you from those mean old other people who aren't going to let you do what you want to do, but we're going to give you more freedom. No, the government's not going to give you more freedom. The government was supposed to protect your freedom, but they are stealing it from us left and right.
I think really then the bigger picture is no one can give you freedom. You have it.
You do. You have to use it responsibly.
Yeah. And anybody who says that they are promoting it or they're going to help you get it, it's a scam.
It is absolutely a scam. So absolutely lean into your family and protect them at all costs. And okay, if you have to become a one income family to do this, do it. Sacrifice, because you know, sacrifices were made for you to be here. We know the ultimate one, but we have to sacrifice. And you know, that was a decision that my husband and I made all those years ago. And you know, in this day and age, if I had little ones, I'd do it all over again. And I would not take a red cent from the federal government or the state government.
That's a really powerful statement. And sometimes it's not easy. But in the long run, you won't regret it.
Well, you know, here's the way to look at it. Would you rather have the fancy car, all the cable channels in the world to watch, or would you rather have a child who knows you and wants to have a relationship with you and is be taken care of?
I think it's an easy call as a parent and for society, right? So if you have... Just imagine if they're able to get what they want accomplished, your child really won't be your child. It'll Mm-mm. become a ward of the state, part of the government mm-hmm. infrastructure. And by definition, they will be against you, because it's not about the family unit. It's about the bigger picture and the global parent.
Absolutely. Well said.
I can't imagine what that would be like to have your child not be your child anymore. You went through all of the hardship and the joy of having the child. And part of part of a parent is having your child become a human being, a fully developed, pursuing their own destiny with joy, not on medication in some system with some, you know, somebody deciding what their health parameters should be. This is never something that's positive. I don't see being in behavioral treatment as a positive thing.
Here's the mantra that the government is operating under, and it should not be the one for your family. And that is, they want us over-medicated and under-educated.
Again, perfectly stated. I mean, and the average child is on about 5 meds, I think maybe more at this point.
I have no idea. It just breaks my heart.
We have to take a stand. I mean, if it's working, we wouldn't have as many problems as we have now. And children seem to be moving further away. I keep reading and hearing things on the internet about how dangerous the schools are becoming. Kids fighting against administrators, principals. This is not a system where it's like a little cocoon where you go in and you just learn who you are and you are able to succeed, it seems very mercenary and anxiety provoking and taking you off center, off balance. And I don't think a child needs to be that way.
No,
it should be a safe environment. And I don't mean in terms of what we classically think of as safe. It's about being able to make mistakes, learn from them, and actually keep progressing, not told that just because of what you look like, what your economic status is, this is what you can achieve. And we need to put our finger on the scale to help you achieve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. In the minute that we have left, Lynn, please again, tell us how we can read your blogs and listen to your podcasts.
www.commoncorediva.com.
I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I think we got a bigger picture of how huge this is.
Yeah.
But we still have the power, don't we?
We do, and we absolutely need to come together and remember there's more of us than them and be that resistance, because if we don't, our children are on the sacrificial altar.
They won't even know what they don't know.
Right.
I mean, we're actually the last generation that has a frame of reference, that has the full breadth of what it means to be educated, have books that you can read that haven't been removed, and have teachers who can teach you instead of being afraid to say anything or try to lead you into believing a certain thing. I think it's really key.
Yeah.
So I really love that you're able to spend your time with us. I'm looking forward to having you back, and I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.